Realize with the security we have in Him tonight. Amen. All right, I'd like you to take the Word of God and turn with me in the Old Testament book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight. We'll be looking throughout this book together as we stand to our feet. The Bible says in Jonah chapter number 1, in verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had, and every song that's been sung, Lord's a blessing to us. Lord, every part of the service, Lord, we thank you for. Now we come to the time of the preaching. I pray, Lord, that your will be done tonight. I pray for strength. I pray that we'll be encouraged through your word and helped by it. And Lord, I pray that the message would be timely. Lord, I ask you to help us to see what you'd have us to see and to hear what you'd have us to hear. And then, Lord, to go and do what you'd have us to do. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The book of Jonah is a great book. We read in it some things that deals with revival. And one of the greatest revivals that has ever taken place in the history of the world was in Nineveh, of all places. And I was thinking about the wickedness of Nineveh. And I was thinking about a place that had just denied God and hated God and were wicked and ungodly and vile and wretched in so many ways. And I thought, boy, what God did for Nineveh. And if God can do it for Nineveh, He can do it for anybody. Amen. By the way, if God hadn't done it for Nineveh, He could still do it for anybody. Amen? I was watching today as we have the inaugural and all the things going on, getting ready for the inauguration. And I was watching a sea of people as they were there and I saw different things, some encouraging things and some discouraging things, no doubt about it. I'm glad that we live in the land of the free. I'm glad that we live in a place where we have the freedom to worship the Lord and to be able to go to places like that and feel safe and secure in most ways. But I watched and saw as an Episcopalian preacher stood up and gave a prayer, and this particular Episcopalian was gay. And I thought, boy, what America's come to. And I watched as at the end of this whole inaugural concert, I guess you could say, with all the different anti-American singers that got up there and sang, the Bruce Springsteens and the U2s and all these different ones. And I thought as they closed out with Beyonce singing America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and the whole crowd was there and singing together, hundreds of thousands of people. And I thought, if you really believe that, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in America. And I began to think, you know, what we need in America is revival. And I saw a great group of people, and now I'm not saying anything for or against a person here, but I saw a great group of people, and I'm going to tell you something. Some people think that the next president's going to be the savior of our world and of our country. And if that's all we're looking to, we're in a great heap of trouble. And it's not about one man. It's not about a party. I'm not talking about him in particular. I'm saying we need never look to the president to answer all of our problems. We need to look to the Lord. And I saw the wickedness of Nineveh, and I'm not saying that we've reached that point, and as a matter of fact, I think we're a humanitarian society, and I believe that we believe in treating people right, but I see some of the things that's going on in our land, and I realize the wickedness that has come to America. There was a time when certain lifestyles were certainly looked down upon, but now they're accepted, and everything's all right. There was a time when life, especially innocent babies, was something that was right and something that was protected. But for all these years now, you know, we can talk about all the people that they killed. And did you know Nineveh, they were the first ones that we know of that took and they would fillet people's bodies. They would bludgeon people. They were wicked, ungodly, and wretched. And we look and we think, how terrible, but it's no worse than the butchering of millions and millions and millions of babies. And I thought, boy, God, I see the wickedness of Nineveh. But I saw what he could do. And I want to go through this. And you've got to go with me quickly tonight, because I've got about 20, maybe 25 minutes. We're going to go through this real quickly, okay? We're going to see this. I want you to look with me, number one, at God's plan. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is before me. God's plan was that he called Jonah to go to this wicked place, this ungodly place, and he said, I want you to cry out to them because their wickedness has come before me. In other words, my hand of judgment is getting ready to come down. Dear friends, I have to say tonight, I believe the hand of the judgment of God has already begun in America, and it's going to come down in a stronger way, not because of the president, not because of certain things, just because America has turned their back on the God that made them the country that they are. So we see God's plan. And God's plan was for the preacher to preach. And that's what we need. We need some preachers to preach again. We need some people that will stand for the Word of God. We need men and women that will go out in the highways and hedges and tell people about Jesus. We talk about the love of Jesus. We've got to tell them that. But I'm going to tell you, we need to hear about the judgment of God. I want you to see, secondly, Jonah's plummet. God called him to go, but look what he did. The Bible says in verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. And look at this word, from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here's God's plan. I'm sending Jonah, God says. But Jonah runs away from God. He runs away from the presence of the Lord. It reminds me of a lot of believers that are living in the world today. As we run away from God, the truth and the holiness and the righteousness that God tells us that ought to be a part of our lives. We become so used to the dark that the darkness doesn't seem to bother us in America anymore. If you go into a restaurant and you walk in at first out of the sunlight and you walk into that restaurant and it's a dimly lit restaurant and you sit down, you can't hardly see, can you? But before you know it, in just a few minutes, your eyes begin to adjust. And then all of a sudden, you can see the menu. And you can see people that are around you. Things that you didn't even know was there are there. And you get used to the dark. And that's what a lot of people are doing in America. It's all around us, and we're just getting used to it. But the Bible says that He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, we're to be the light that goes into the darkness to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this world. But the problem is a lot of Christians are running the other way. A lot of Christians are running away from the presence of the Lord, and we're going down. Jonah is plummeting down. Notice, he went from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He went to a ship going to Tarshish, and he went down into that ship. Everything he was trying to do to get away from the presence of the Lord. And that's what we're doing a lot of times in our society. We're afraid of what God wants us to do. But tonight we ought to be excited. It may cost us our lives, but if it's what God wants us to do, it'll be worth it. Wouldn't it be all right to enter into the presence of the Lord having done what He wants us to do with our lives? I believe tonight we ought to be willing to do whatever it takes. Jonah's plummet. Then I want you to see God's power. Notice what the Bible says. In verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, so we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and lots fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. We see the power of God. Jonah's running from God, and he goes down to Joppa, down into the ship, and then he goes down into the lower part of the ship, and when the ship is about to sink, he's down there asleep. The shipmaster comes, and he says, all these other ones are calling upon their gods. But Jonah has proclaimed to them the God to whom he belongs. And he said, Arise, thou sleeper. In other words, you're pitiful for being down here asleep. We're up here calling on our gods. Nothing's happening. Why aren't you calling on your God? I'm going to tell you what's going on in the world today. The world may make fun of us. The world may mock us. But the world expects us to live for God if we say we belong to Him. The world expects Christians to be right and to live right. Call upon God. These mariners, they began to cast lots. They said, we've got to find out why this is happening to us. And then, when they found out and the lot fell upon Jonah, they come and said, Who are you? Where are you from? What country are you a part of? Where are you going? Why is all this happening? And he said, I'm a Hebrew. I love the Lord. I believe in Him. Put my faith in Him. Trust Him. And he had already told them he was running from them. We see the power of God. We understand that what's going on here, they said, What shall we do unto thee? See, God's power will point you out. The Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And when we claim to be a Christian and we do not live the Christian life, we are mocking God, and we're going to reap what we sow. And that's what Jonah's going through right here. We see God's plan. We see Jonah's plummet. We see God's power. Now I want you to see Jonah's predicament. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Jonah's in a heap of trouble now. He's got himself in a predicament. When you run away from God's will and God's plan for your life, you're going to get yourself in a predicament. Because there is no joy, no peace, no happiness outside of the will of God for the believer. Amen. He's run away from God, and they said, We're going to have to do this. Jonah says, Cast me overboard. That's what you're going to have to do. He said, Take me, cast me into the sea. And they said, We don't want innocent blood against us. Even these people that didn't have the relationship with God, they didn't want to do something. They rowed hard to try to get to shore. And they couldn't get to shore because God was staying the ship where it was. And they said, Lord, don't lay this innocent blood on us. And they took him up and they cast him overboard. It's all part of God's plan, you see. It's all showing the power of God. And we see that Jonah's got himself in a predicament because he was not doing with his life what God asked him to do. There's a lot of men that God called to preach and they did not preach. And I'm going to tell you what, they've been miserable all their lives and they made everybody else around them miserable too. There's been a lot of people that has not surrendered to the will of God that have made people around them miserable because they will not do what God wants them to do, and they'll never be happy. They'll never have joy. And so in their misery, they try to make everybody else miserable. Here's what Jonah was doing. He was making everybody else miserable. And he said, You're going to have to throw me overboard. He was saying, Yeah, I'd just assume my life be over. I don't want to go to Nineveh. You're going to find that. He hated Nineveh. Everything about him. And then the men, when they threw him overboard, they feared God. And they even made a vow. Here's people that was calling on other gods, but they realized the power of the Lord. As soon as they threw him overboard, you know what happened? They got rid of the problem, didn't they? See, the problem wasn't the heathen on the ship. The problem was the believer on the ship. Isn't that an amazing thought? The problem in this world is not the heathen in this world. The problem in America is not the heathen in America. The problem is the Christians in America are not being Christ-like. Then we see God's preparation. We're going to see this again. Verse 17. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So here it is. God knew what Jonah was going to do, and he had already had a great fish prepared, and he knew that they were going to throw him overboard. And when they threw him overboard, God had this great fish prepared, and the Bible says that it was prepared to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God's always prepared. You're not going to catch him off guard. He knew that Jonah was going to go overboard. By the way, God knows when we're going to reach the end of our rope and when we're going to jump out and try to dive out to sea and get away from it all. God's got some preparations for us. Then we see Jonah's prayer. It's amazing what God has to do sometimes to get our attention. This is pretty drastic measures, isn't it? Notice what the Bible says. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst me cast into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever, yet thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That'll be good for us to remember. I can't save anybody. And you can't save anybody. And nobody other than the Lord saves you. But we see God's preparation. He prepared this fish. And when Jonah gets to this low part in his life, Jonah prays. And it's sad to say, but that's the way we are a lot of times in our life. When we get down to the lowest point of our life, that's when we decide, I need to have a prayer life. I need God now. And we use God like he's an old crutch. As long as everything's all right and our legs are feeling all right and our backs are feeling all right, we don't need that crutch. We don't need that walker. We don't need that. But just as soon as something goes wrong in our life, here we go, crawling back to God. He's so merciful that he allows us to do it. But I say unto you, when everything's all right, we still need to trust in God. And Jonah prays. And he begins to remember what God has done in his life. And he remembers the vow that he had promised God. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. God says, go to Nineveh. He says, uh-uh. I'm not going. I'll not do that anywhere but Nineveh. You know, it's like missionaries say, Lord, I'll go anywhere in the world but China. I'm going to tell you, that's probably where God's going to send them. Because it's there where they'll find out they have to trust God. Jonah's down in the belly of the fish. He's down in hell, he feels like, in the grave, if you will. His life is just about to be over, and he cries out to God. We see Jonah's prayer. But then I want you to see God's purpose. The Bible says in verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Chapter 3. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Now, I want you to see here that God had a purpose for Jonah. His purpose was his plan. His plan was for Jonah to go and preach. But there's something I want you, if you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you ought to underline it. There in verse number 1, it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, look at this, the second time. I'm glad that we have a God that's a God of second chances, aren't you? I'm glad that we have a God that when we say no to His will, He still continues to deal with us and gives us the opportunity. And now Jonah has realized what he's done. He's repented of that. And God speaks to Jonah the second time. Because God has a purpose. And His purpose is for Jonah to go to that great city and to preach. And I want you to see what he preaches. We see Jonah's preaching. Verse number 4. And he cried and said, listen to this. Here's Jonah's sermon. You'll never get one from me like this. 8 words, Jonah says. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's what he said. That was his sermon. That was what he preached. He had fought. He had ran away from the presence of the Lord. He had went down to Joppa. He went down into a ship that was headed to Tarshish. He went down below with the ship to try to get away from the presence of the Lord because he didn't want to go and preach an 8-word sermon. And the sermon was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You know what he's saying? The judgment of God is getting ready to fall on Nineveh. They knew. The hand of God, the hammer of God is getting ready to come down. And you got 40 days to get it right. Would to God that that would be the truth in America and somebody would come and that our nation would hear the truth. I don't know how long-suffering and how merciful God is going to be with a nation like ours. People have tried to fight and change our history. But the very purpose that people came into this land was to be able to worship God, the God of the Bible. And then even in our beginning, we see as Catholic Church tried to come over and make a state church and tried to destroy what people came here to do. And the Anglicans came and tried to destroy what people came here to do. And even in the very beginning, the Congregationalists who were used of God still wanted to have that state-run church. But thank God there were some Baptists back then that stood up and said we ought to have the liberty to go to the kind of church that we want to go to and not have to pay taxes to the state and to the government. And we don't... You understand what I'm saying? Look, they were doing things like if you didn't belong to this church, you couldn't own property. But there were men that knew what the Bible said and stood for individual soul liberty. And people came over here to fight for our rights. And now we're seeing more and more those rights are going to begin to be taken away. We're going to see some things happen that's going to absolutely shock us and amaze us. It's going to be hate speech for me to get up and speak against sodomy. Hate speech. If things continue going the way that they've been headed for all these years. And by the way, if you read through the history, one of the great downfalls of many societies has when that wicked and wretched lifestyle, what we call homosexuality and what the Bible calls sodomy, began to be acceptable. And it will destroy our country. And while I can preach it, I'm going to preach it. And when I can't preach it, I'm still going to preach it. Because it's what the Bible says. We see a wicked place here in Nineveh, don't we? Can you imagine them actually taking live people and filleting them? Cruel. Wicked. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go there. And our country is getting barbaric in a lot of ways. Gang violence is on the rise. Homicides are rampant. We don't feel safe to go outside of our own homes. Who had ever thought in America we'd see it like this? But that's what happens when you become a godless people. And what we need are some preachers like Jonah. Now, Jonah's not everything they need. They need God. But we need preachers that'll have the message that Jonah had. And people that'll hear the message of Jonah. Notice, God is proclaimed. The Bible says, so the people, in verse number 5, of Nineveh believed God. Isn't that amazing? An 8-word sermon and Nineveh gets... God prepares people to hear the truth. And they believed God, and he arose from his throne. Oh, excuse me. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. This is what gives me hope for America. That if we'll repent of our evil, God will repent of the evil that he may send upon us. This doesn't mean that God didn't know what was going to happen. This is just the Bible's way of teaching us that we have to do what God wants us to do if we want him to stay his hand of judgment from us. People call this a Christian nation. I don't know that you could ever say it was a Christian nation, because not everybody was saved. That's a Christian nation. You understand that. But as a nation founded on biblical principles, it was a nation for many, many years never lost a war. It was a nation where the hand and the power of God was evidenced upon us. But after World War II, when we got on our knees before God, and history teaches us that churches were filled to the max, but at the same time when women had to leave the homes and go into the workplace just to be able to provide, after that, when the war was over, instead of finding people at the house of God, they found them at the bars and at the party places, partying it up, that the war was over and that we won the victory. And you tell me what successful battle we've truly had since World War II. Would you say Korea? Would you say Vietnam? Would you say the first Gulf War? Would you say the Gulf War we're in? Would you say with our battles in Afghanistan? Can you give me one complete success story since that time? One clear evidence of winning as a nation? I'm going to tell you what happened. We left God behind. We ran away from the Lord. We called upon him. We got on his. We got our crutch under us. God, we need you. We need you. We need you. Hey, you remember what happened? You remember what happened 9/11? Tuesday, 9/11? What happened Wednesday night? Wednesday night, churches were filled. The Sunday morning following. But what would happen 2 weeks later? They were all gone. There's our crutch! You see what's going on? See, we give a little pretense. God, we need you. And then when he takes care of us, well, we really did. Nineveh had no experience of the moving of God like what we've had. They hadn't tasted what we've tasted, but now they're tasting it. And the king proclaimed that we're going to turn to the Lord, and people heard this, and they called out to God, and God repented of his evil. I've got to finish this. I'm going to finish it very quickly. We see a revival in Nineveh. I'm going to tell you something. If God revived Nineveh, God can revive America. Now, this revival didn't last long, because if you go read the book of Nahum, you're going to find out it's about 150 years later, and his impending judgment is getting ready to come again, and they've already forgotten the God. But we need a taste of revival. We need a mighty revival in America. But now let's see what happened. This is what happens. God sometimes does great things. But notice, and I'm just going to go through this very quickly, Jonah's pouting. The Bible says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. God done a great thing in Nineveh, and God used Jonah in a great and mighty way. But Jonah hated the Ninevites so much that he went and pouted about it. And I think that's a problem with us a lot of times. People that say that we love America, Christians say we love America, but then we look and all we want to do is cast judgment on the sinners. The problem with that is that we would all be in that place had not the grace of God come to our life. The only hope America has is God. Sometimes somebody gets saved and it's almost like, I don't believe it. You know, I don't like all the things that are going on, but I believe God's saving people in some of the strangest places possible. In churches that aren't the kind of church that we think they ought to be. But thank God if they're being saved from hell, but what we need is a movement of God, and we need a return to the holiness of God. There's no doubt about it. But let's not begrudge the fact that there are people being saved outside of the Baptist church. You know? Jonah said, I'd rather die than live. I don't want to be that way, do you? Now look, I'm going to be what I am and stay the way I am. I'm going to stick with the Bible. There's no doubt about that. But when somebody comes and tells me they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm going to rejoice with them. God help us. Then I want you to see God's preparation. I'm just about done. So Jonah went outside, verse 6. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief, so that Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. There it is. There he is again. He prepared a great fish. Now he prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm to eat the gourd. And he prepared a big wind to come and to blow upon that and to take it away, and the sun to beat down. And Jonah was sitting there saying, I'd rather live than die. God has a way of dealing with us, friends. Don't ever forget that. And we see Jonah's pity in verse number 9. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. You know what he said? Jonah, you have greater pity upon a gourd than you did upon a nation of people. You had a pity on something that you had absolutely nothing to do with when you had opportunity to turn a nation to God and rejoice in the fact that they did turn to God through your preaching. You preached and the nation repented and turned to me, and you'd just soon be dead. But then it broke your heart when the gourd went away. That's pitiful, isn't it? Dear friends, we find ourselves in that shape in America. We get worried about more things when what we ought to be concerned with are the souls of men and women and boys and girls. The spiritual health of our nation is what we ought to be concerned with. If we'll seek first the kingdom of God, He'll take care of our needs. Now that's a promise from God, and we can either believe it or not believe it. But if you don't believe it, you're going to miss out. But if you believe it, God will take care of some things. And then God's plan. Verse 11 again. We started with God's plan. We're going to end with God's plan. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. See, God's plan was about people and about their needs. Jonah's plan was about self. You want to know when revival is going to come to America? When Christians are less concerned with self and more concerned with the Savior. That's when revival will come to America. And I declare unto you tonight this very thought, that if the Christians in America would get right with God and do what we're supposed to do, there would be a mighty revival in America. Let it begin in our hearts. We can't go out, we may not be going into a city of Nineveh, but we can go into Tampa, and we can go into our neighborhoods and our communities and the places we work, and we can be God's representative there, and we can tell others about Jesus. And look at people that maybe we just really don't like, but let's pray that God will give us a heart for them so that we can take the truth to them and help them to turn from their wicked ways and to see God. America needs revival, but I believe revival is going to begin in individuals. It's going to begin in people like me and people like you. What are we doing for the cause that God has, the plan that God has for our life? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for saving us. Lord, we know that there's a great need in our country tonight. There's a great need in our city. There's a great need in our community. And Lord, when we see all the wickedness and all the ungodliness, sometimes we just want to cry out, Lord, send your judgment down. But Lord, help us to be a people that would have compassion and to be able to stand for the truth and speak the truth in love and tell others, Lord, of the impending judgment upon their lives and upon the life of our country if we don't turn to Thee. Lord, I have no doubt that Your judgment has already begun in America. I have no doubt. But Lord, may we turn the tide. May we see a mighty army of believers rise up and decide, we're going to go where You want us to go. We're going to do what You want us to do, say what You want us to say, and Lord, we're going to be what You want us to be by the grace of God, by Your precious mercy. Lord, send a great revival. Lord, may it begin in me. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.